halacha, we're in the middle actually, we didn't finish, but halacha, reish yud ches. Reish yud ches on page kuf tzadi dalid. Right before reish yud ches, we did not finish the halacha, we left that one paragraph, we'll just finish this off. Page kuf tzadi dalid, right before reish yud ches. Right before. Yes, we learned about the principle that if a person sees his friend is in a matzav of tsar, you have an obligation to fulfill what it says, imoy anoichi b'tzara. Even though it's not often you can help him, you can do anything for him, you don't have money to solve his problems, and you don't have the means to solve his problem, but the very least is to daven for him, to pray for him. I told you another story that made an impression upon me with Steinman. Rav Steinman, they used to always come to him. He became, at a certain point in his life, the authority on Chinuch Habonim.
What?
Chinuch Habonim. He became the authority. Whenever they had a big shiloh about Chinuch Habonim, they came to him. It became almost a custom. If you want to throw a kid out of yeshiva, you have a yeshiva, and you have a boy that's not following the rules, and the administration decides that this boy has to be dismissed because he's causing other children harm, whatever it is. So they would go to Rav Steinman to get permission to throw a kid out of yeshiva. So they went to Rav Steinman and they said to him, this boy, Atkan. Atkan Akofa Aleph. Akofa Shishi. So he said, what's the problem? And he told him all the issues. Then he said to the Menahel, what's the boy's mother's name? So the Menahel says, what? What's his mother's name? I don't know what his mother's name is. I know the last name. I don't know the first name of all the mothers of the boys in the yeshiva. So he said, what? You don't know the mother's name? You hear, you're ready to throw him out of yeshiva. You want to throw him out. You would not mispalel for him? When you mispalel for someone, you say their name, Reuven ben Sarah. You say their name, the son of the mother. When you pray for someone, you always refer to them by their mother's name. Like for a choleh. So you mean to tell me that you're ready to throw him out of the yeshiva and you would not even mispalel for him once and you do not know his mother's name? Get out of here. Get out of here. You have no right to throw him out. That's not the way you throw out a child from yeshiva. Isn't that an amazing story? I once told this to a Rosh Yeshiva in the presence of his wife. So the Rosh Yeshiva, he just sat there like this, water off a duck. The wife, the Rebbetzin, she lit up like the thing that's on the opposite side of the street on Hanukkah. Okay, she lit like, woo! Like she reacted to this, when I just read that story, like that made an impression upon me. You just don't throw out a kid unless you mishtatef in their tzar. Okay, so that is what we learned yesterday. We learned yesterday, if a person is mishtatef in their tzar, that creates a duty of reciprocation. That if ever it happens, chas v'shalom, years later, the tables are turned, where the one that was mishtatef in your tzar now is in tzar, you have a duty to reciprocate and be mishtatef in their tzar. And if you do not do so, the Sefer Chasidim says you're a ganof. You're a ganof. You've stolen what is entitled to him. If he davened for you, he has an entitlement. The entitlement is that you should daven for him. And if you do not daven for him, you're a ganof. So he writes over here, let's say, Taka, you do daven for him. And it doesn't help. You daven for your friend and all of your tefillos are not answered.
Kishiyavoyu hu oizaroy lo oisitzar ha kodesh baruch hu zoicha masha osel lechaveroy kishinase loizeh ha mo'oiro u moshiach.
This is something which you hear so often said by Gedolei Yisrael, and now you learn today that it's straight, it's plagiarized straight out of the Sefer Chassidim. What it means is that I'll translate in today's day and age. Let's say you have today, and it's very common, Rachman Lutzlan, with someone in the class in the yeshiva, there's a student who's not well. You have a third grade class, you have a fifth grade, third graders, okay? And the fifth grade. And one of the boys is very sick. One day the boy doesn't show up and the app doesn't come for a week. And then they find out the boy is very, very sick. He could have cancer. Who knows what he has? And then they go and they tell the boys, find out, and they don't even know what this is. They know what's going on. And then they go visit him and they see what he looks like. And they start telling the boys, no, daven. They teach them that you daven to Hashem. Okay, little boys, little girls, they daven, daven, daven. And they get worked up. They learn Mishnayos, they daven, they do chasodin, it becomes a whole project. Okay, this is very, very common. Rahman would slum a lot of tzaris out there. And then what happens? After they get all worked up, they do projects, they don't talk Lashon Hara, they don't watch television, they give up their recess to say Tehillim, they do all of these things. Their friend dies. And you have a class of fifth graders or fourth graders who are a very isolated world, very, very protected from the world, and they're totally shocked. How could this be? How could this be? They dive into Hashem with the utmost tenimus and sincerity, and Hashem did not listen to our prayers? How could this possibly be? So they need to bring in, here on the internet, they need to bring in professionals, psychologists.
Grief counselors
to deal. So part of this grief count, that's one thing, to grief, deal with the pain. And then there is the hashkafic problem. Besides the grief and the trauma, but we daven. We daven to Hashem. And he did not listen. That's not where it's supposed to be.
So
a child, it's hard for a child to understand that.
Hard for an adult to understand.
That's right, it is. So an adult gets used to it. Adults just get used to it. But for the child, for the very first time, it's very hard to deal with. And what do they say? They literally read what we just read today. They literally read the words over here right now. And that is, you tell the children, in this instance, Hashem said no. We don't understand why Hashem said no. It's not for us to understand. That's a lesson in and of itself. But don't think for one moment that every good deed that you did, every prayer, every thought that you did to help your friend that he should get better was wasted. Hashem said no today, but he took your tefillos and he put them away in safekeeping. And the day will come when there's going to be a very great danger to someone else, maybe to yourself. We don't know how these things work. And it will be meant to be that in that situation, a person should die, a person should suffer, there should be a very great tragedy. And everything that you have done in this last period of time, Hashem will take out of storage and will say, now is the time I'm going to say yes to these tefillos. That's exactly what they say to children and to adults also. Everything they say to children, every time you talk to a child, you're really talking to an adult, because you know adults are just big children. It's like they had the advertisement in the dinner I went to. They had a very nice advertisement for the Ovo Subonim program. So the person wrote, there was a father and a child. He wants to thank on behalf of all of the fathers and all of the children, the sponsors and the program coordinator. So they wrote, the father wrote, I'm giving thank you on behalf of all of the big and very big Kinderlach. And my son is giving thanks on behalf of the little Kinderlach. Everyone is a child. It's not Avol Subanim, it's big Kinderlach and little Kinderlach. That's an S what he was saying, is that instead of calling the program Avol Subanim, you should call it big Kinderlach and little Kinderlach. The big Kinderlach are in their 40s, are in their 30s, and the little Kinderlach are 5, 6, 7 years old. Everyone really is in the category of a child.
In case you thought that my boy died It was because the fathers did something wrong.
Did I say that?
No, I'm asking.
Did I say that? Who? No one knows. You know, someone can answer that question.
No, because you say someone did run the.
No, you didn't. No one said that. Didn't say nothing. Nothing. Nowhere. No one ever said. No one knows why bad things happen. Tzaddik v'raloi, there's no greater tzaddik than a child. What could a child do that he deserves to die? 1.5 million children died in the Holocaust. What did they do that they deserve to die? That they deserve to be humiliated? They deserve to suffer in a concentration camp? They deserve to be cremated? What do they do? You can. There's an answer to that question. You're going to go tell me it's because of, I'll give you go a long list of things that people tell you they did. Are you out of your mind? You're going to tell me why the Holocaust happened? Out of your mind? What did these children do? Impossible. So what is the answer? There is no answer. We don't know Hashem's ways. We're dealing with the facts. I'm telling you a story. This is a reality. This goes on all the time. There are people that are sick, and it affects young people, and they teach the young people to do mitzvahs, to give, have zuchusim in order to save, to help, to be mispalo. And then, unfortunately, very often, it doesn't make a difference. The person dies. And then the children have a question. How come our tefillahs were not answered? And the answer the Rabbanim give the children is, they read them these words. All of your tefillos, all of your good deeds, all of the times you held back from speaking Lashon Hara and doing what you're supposed to do, you know, it didn't help. You should know that that if it'll ever happen 50 years from now, 20 years from now, 10 years from now, who knows, maybe even 500 years from now, the person himself, Oizaroi, Lo'oisoi Tsar, you'll be in that situation yourself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zoicher. At that moment in time, Hashem takes out of storage your good deeds, your tefillos, Masha Osa L'chaveroi, this that you prayed for your friend, Kishenasa Loi Zeha Ma'oira, when this occurrence happened to their friend, Umoshia, and now Hashem says, now the time has come to say yes. Okay, so if you didn't have this Sefer Chassidim, you can say to the Rabbanim, how do you know? You know, you're saying very big hashkafic things. You know, people challenge Rabbanim sometimes. You're telling these things to children? What gives you the right to say this to a child? How do you know? How do you know that's taka true, that Hashem puts away in storage? Well, the Sefer Chassidim we rely on. He lived 800 years ago, 900 years ago. He's part of the Messiah. He says it in very clear terms. It's a very, very powerful principle. And it's not like you said, it's not just for the little kinderlach. It's for the big and the very big kinderlach. Also to need the celestial, because we go through life most of the time and we know what's coming. We know the answer is no. So what? Just because it's no, Hashem is saying you feel pain, express it. Express the pain in your tefillos. Don't just let the opportunity be lost. If you feel the pain, express the pain. You know in the bottom of your heart, it's not going to make a difference because we've been through this cycle of life many times and we know, unfortunately, the way the world goes. But you have that feeling, daven, because Hashem is giving an opportunity. It may not work now, but in the future, it will work. It will be preventive medicine. It will have effect at some time in this world. So don't ever let an opportunity be lost, even Rahman al-Itzlan, an unpleasant opportunity. When they say, you know, they always say this person is dying. Everyone should say Tehillim. So I always say to myself, come on, what are you making? He's dying. Let's say it's over. They say the emergency. They send out a text. This person is very, very sick. It's Rachamei Shemayim. Basically, like, you know, by the end of the day, it's over. Everyone should say Tehillim. What do you want me to say Tehillim for? It's over. What was the purpose of saying Tehillim? So you'll say, there are different answers. One answer is to say Tehillim because you need Tehillim to die also. Okay, it needed to be a smooth death. A lot of things go wrong at the end. There can be a lot of complications the last moments, the last few hours as well. When you're saying Tehillim, Inachanan, who says he's saying Tehillim that he should live? You're saying Tehillim that he should, you know, have a peaceful end. It shouldn't, things shouldn't get worse than they could be. That's one reason why you say Tehillim. You say Tehillim because of Kabbalah and Yonim. You don't know what goes on to the Neshama when the Neshama leaves the body. And if people are saying Tehillim, we have Emunah, that is certainly smooths the process. The train ride is not as bumpy. Yeah. And then there's another inyan, is, you're right, the Tehillim is just, there's no purpose to Tehillim, but right now you feel pain. Right now you know this person, you know who he is. He's shaken up, he's dying. So this that you're shaken up, that you know that he's dying, take that emotion that you have and express it to Hashem. Why? Not for today, because today it's over. Use it as an investment. If someone called you up today and say to you, I'm telling you, invest in this stock because tomorrow it's going to be worth $1 billion. If you would have known the day before Google, right, when Google was a nothing, if you would have known to go invest in Google, you would give all your money?
It was nothing.
Google is nothing?
No.
No?
It's $200.
Now it's $200?
It's
whatever it was. I mean, what's that, what, I'm making a point. Okay, you want to go invest. If someone called you, I would give you an insider tip. Okay, that's not illegal. Insider trading is illegal. But if someone would come and tell you in a legal way about a certain, you would invest. When Hashem says, you get a message, this person, it's the end. Say Tehillim, please take out Tehillim and say Tehillim, a Mizmar Tehillim. Basically telling you, invest. Invest $100, invest $5. That investment will turn into a small fortune for you one day down the road. That's really what it is. You feel tsar, express your tsar to Hashem. Hashem will take that tsar and will put it away for something very big. The person who's dying is doing you a very big favor. He's doing you the favor by dying. Because he's now saying, I'm dying and you feel pain, take advantage. It's not for me, I'm gone already. For me, it's already over. I'm giving you a gift. I'm giving you a Yerusha. I'm giving you something that's worth a fortune. I'm dying, you feel pain, you live with me all these years. You know who I am, you know what, you understand, you feel the tzar. Invest, express yourself to Hashem. He'll put that away for the long term. But that chazal means today. That means today. Here he's saying for the future. It's a different. There's a different principle. This is for the future. Your ma'amar chazal that you quoted was today. A person today. I need this. I need a shidduch. Like people who have shidduchim. So they have these partnerships. You daven for him, and he'll daven for you. The person needs parnas. You daven for him, he daven. So that's today, hayoyim. But this is for the future. The future, it's not a matter of the person is dying. You're being mispal for him, Hashem puts away for the future. Okay, let's begin. Rashi test.
So you said that someone maybe in afternoon is going to be dying. But Yeshua Hashem kerefai.
Okay, and achinami, halavai, halavai, halavai. Miracles happen all the time. That's right. Yesh v'yesh. If the miracle will happen, kol hakavod. But unfortunately, miracles are few and far in between. I don't see great miracles happening too often. The science, the doctors, they know what's going on. I told you, we spend time learning about the sugya of Chaye Shah. What do we learn from Rav Moshe? Was Rav Moshe? We learned an incredible yisoid. We learned that Chaye Shah is defined by medical science. What is medical science? Today, when a doctor tells the patient, if I'm not mistaken, the doctor today tells the patient he has less than 6 months. I don't remember exactly. There's a certain thing today that when a doctor tells a patient, I think it was 6 months, maybe it was less. They're very accurate. They're pretty much on the mark. When they tell a person you have 9 months, you have a year, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what to talk about. So when a doctor, when you find, you have to recalibrate, I guess, every what are the statistics? But when you discover that when doctors today make predictions of how long a patient will live and they're on the mark, that is defined as chayisha. That's, so the doctor will say, maybe the doctor says to a person, you have 3 months. I'm making this up. Probably something like that. And a doctor today tells a patient, you have 3 months to live. They're pretty accurate. 95% of the time, the patient does not live more than 3 months. When the doctor says you have 6 months to live, or maybe whatever it is, 90% of the time, they're wrong. They're wrong. They live a lot longer than 6 months. So when you get to the zman, when they're on the mark, when they're accurate, that is called chaye sha'a. In the halacha, you need to know, define chaye sha'a and chaye more than chaye sha'a in order to make medical halachic decisions in the world of medicine. The first thing you have to know is the person in a matzav of chaye sha'a or the person has a long time to live. If the person has a long time to live, then the answer to the question is A. If the person is now in a matzav of chaye sha'a, then the answer is B. Okay, very nice. Define for me what's called chaye sha'a. He's going to live for 5 minutes, he's going to live for a week, live for a year. So you know what chaye sha'a is? The amount of time that today, in the 21st century, a doctor is correct. When are doctors correct today? When they make predictions about how long a person has left to live? Pretty much a short amount of time. Short periods of time, they're correct. Longer periods of time, they don't know what they're talking about. Okay, let's go further. Wait.
I'm sorry.
You asked a lot of questions. You have to be fair. You asked a lot of questions, and now we have to go further. You asked more than everyone else. We have to go further. You have to be fair. Reishu test. V'nigdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. Now we go to another very important principle of Kiddush Hashem. Now, this is a very complicated sugya, and there's a very long perush on the bottom, which I wanted to run through very quickly. We'll see how much we can do. But he talks about the rules of Kiddush Hashem for Jews versus non-Jews. V'nigdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael mitzuvim al Kiddush Hashem v'ein hanochrim mitzuvim al Kiddush Hashem. A nochri, a non-Jew, has an obligation to observe the Zayin mitzvahs b'nei noyach. There are 7 mitzvahs they're given. Let's say another non-Jew says to one non-Jew says to another non-Jew, I want you to give up your belief in God. I want you to murder. You're not allowed to murder. I want you to murder someone. If you do not murder that person, I'll kill you. I'll murder you. So is he obligated to give up his life not to commit murder? So he says no, he's not. He's allowed to take the life of another person or that he is not executed. Is a Jew allowed to do that? No. We know that a Jew has an obligation to give his life and not violate these three mitzvahs. Avodah Zorah, Gil Yarayos, and Shvi Chastamim. And also, if it's Shmad, B'shas HaShmad, when a guy says to a Jew, I want you to change the color of your shoelaces. If Jews only wear black shoelaces and the non-Jews want you to put on white shoelaces, and by putting on white shoelaces interpreted as being the way the Goyim dress, shocking thing to say, but according to Halacha, a Jew has an obligation to give up his life. B'shas hashmad afilu be'arkasa demesane a shoelace. If it's viewed in society to be to give in to the non-Jews as a defeat of religion, it's no different than Avodah Zarah.
And now, if he does it by himself, not under duress?
If he does, no. What do you mean if he does it by himself?
Like he sees very dangerous, and everybody walks in
It would seem disguising himself as a non-Jew is clearly permissible. It's clearly permissible. B'shas ha-sakana, but not to actually worship an idol. A Jew is allowed to disguise himself like a non-Jew, to dress like a non-Jew, but not to worship idols. Here the non-Jew is saying to the Jew, I know you're Jewish, and I want you to dress, I want everyone to see, I want you to dress like a non-Jew as an expression of giving up your religion. even though I'm not telling you to do worship idols, to live with a woman that you're not allowed to, but it's very specific. I hear what you're saying. It has to be understood. It has to be understood that wearing the shoelace is an expression of renouncing your religion, at least to some degree. Okay, but that's not the point we really want to make over here. They dressed like Jews. Okay, that's a different topic. So Mikdash Yisrael Bnei Yisrael Bnei Yisrael Mitzuvim Mitzuvim Al Kiddush Hashem Nachim Mitzuvim Al Kiddush Hashem. And Goy is not obligated. Goy is permitted to commit one of the Gimel Averes Chamuris in order to save his own life. The expectation of a non-Jew is not the same as the expectation, the demands of a non-Jew is not the same. That's a very big Kiddush. The Sefer Chassidim needs proof to that. He's saying over here, because why should that be so? Why should that be so? Why, the same way a Jew has an obligation to give his life to serve Hashem, and a religious guy, a Ger Tzedek, who is observant of the Zion Mitzvah, why not? Why is he permitted to take the life of another fellow to save his own life, or to live with a woman that's not his wife, or someone else's wife, all these examples, why? He's saying a very big Kiddush. It requires understanding. Well, that's what he says. Next, Rabbi Abba Bar Zimna Havi Mechayet Gabi Char Armoe. Here he was a chayet, he was a tailor by one non-Jew Biromi in Rome. Okay, he's a chayet, he's a tailor. Armoe is a word for a non-Jew in Rome. Aisile Besar Nevela. This Mechayet, this non-Jew, the Roman, he brought him meat of a non-kosher meat. Either eat the meat, I'm going to kill you. Now here it's shas hashmat. He's not normally you're not obligated to give up your life for non-kosher food, unless I want you to show that you are renouncing your religion by eating the non-kosher meat. So he would be obligated. This is the category of shas hashmat. If a goy slam says, "Oh, just, I want you to eat the meat because it's a religious thing," then you can eat it. Avod dezer gilei reish v'chastam. No matter what, you can't do. But meat, you can. But unless the way it's, I want you to show me that you don't really believe in your religion by eating the meat. I'm going to kill you. I'm Amalei. You want to kill me? Kill me. Go right ahead. Who's stopping you? I'm not eating the meat. I don't care. I'm not eating the meat. E bois miktal kotil. Less ano mechal besar nevela. Look me in the face. I'm not eating besar nevela. Do to me whatever you want. No way. Amalei, man moidaloch, deilu ochalt have kotiloch. Who's going to believe you? Who is going to believe you that if you... No, what's so terrible? Deilu ochalt have kotiloch. Who's going to believe you What I said to you. What I said, it was a little bit further.
It
was
in public.
It was in private. Omar le, o Yehudi, o Armoi, either a Jew or a Goy. So what does he mean by this? Let's see if we have the parish on the side. Look on the previous page. Explains it. Previous page, Reish, Migdashli, go down to, right after the Dibur HaMaskel, Rotzaloymar. Kishem Shanachim Ainam Mitsuvim Al Kiddush Hashem Bain Bitsina Bain Bifarhesya, Kach Bnei Yisrael Mitsuvim Al Kiddush Hashem Bain Bitsina Bain Bifarhesya. The point that we're making in this halacha is that the laws of Kiddush Hashem apply equally in private and in public. Just like it's a given, according to the Sefer Chassidim, that a non-Jew is not obligated to give up his life for Kiddush Hashem, both in private and public. The converse is true, that a Jew is obligated to give up his life both in private and public. So the problem over here is we do find a difference. Umeshani, maybe it's not so. Maybe we do find that when it comes to a Jew, the only time he's obligated to give up his life is in public, not in private. No, look, Umeshani, Rabbi Abba Bar Zimna, Shem Yushalmi Muchach, Shem Rotz Lahachmel Atzmai, Leharag, to give up your life. Not like the Rambam was in Chilik Shemrotz Lachmil Atzvah Afilu Betzina Rashai. You're allowed to do so. And then comes the next words, which Finchab will explain. The last words of this paragraph are Nochrim Shedoychakim Es Hayehudim Leachol Nevela. im roitza lehara kidei shlo yoichal, yuchal asoyts are allowed to do so. So what is going on over here? The words here are a little bit cryptic. Echol, let's go back to try to figure this out again together. I thought I understood, obviously I did not. Let's go back a little word. Omole echol, on the last line on the page is, echol, eat the meat, oy ano kotel lach. Omale, ibois mikdal kotel. You want to kill me, kill me. Les ano mechal besar nevela. Omale, man moidalach. Who is going to inform, make it known, the ilu ochalt, Havena kotelach, that if you will eat it, the ilu ochalt.
I just told you that I'm going to kill you, but how do you know that
I'm going to kill you? Eating the meat to Shabbat. There's no tie in to Shabbat.
Right. The ilu ochalt. How do you know? Even if I'll also kill you. The ilu ochalt, I'll kill you no matter what. Man moidalach, who will admit to you? Uh-huh. Who will moidalach? The ilu achalt, haveno katulach, omale o Yehudi o armoy. I really don't know what this means, but from the comments on the side, it appears to be saying is that there is a difference to some degree. We have to understand this. This is very complicated. That's why he quotes the Rambam. He's saying here a very big chiddush. He's saying here a very chiddush, and that privately, a Jew is not obligated to give up his life al kiddush Hashem. However, if he wants to, he gets extra credit.
Uh-huh.
Now, no, the what do you mean? The Jew. A goy has absolutely no obligation to give up his life. For Kiddush Hashem. Never. Not private, not public. The Sefer Hasidim is working with the premise that a Jew has a difference. There's a difference. In public, you're obligated to give up your life, but not in private. Now, if you're not obligated to give up your life, and you do give up your life, that would translate to meaning that if you're guilty of Shvichas Damim, you're guilty for your own murder. If a person is not obligated to give up his life and he does something foolish and he gives up his life, in the next world, he is held accountable for his own murder. Yeah, that's right. So don't be a victim. Don't be a victim. If you're not obligated to give up your life, don't. Live. Don't give up your life. And if you give up your life, you will be held accountable in the next world for your own murder. Along comes the Sefer Hasidim, that's true, but if you will not be held accountable. You have no obligation to give up your life, but if you do give up your life in private, you will get the extra credit. Hashem will love you even more. So the Sefer Hasidim comes out lemaskana that in public, you have no choice. If this is public knowledge, the whole world is watching, that you've been killed as a Jew, you have no choice. You must, the halacha demands of you that you must. In private, it's your prerogative. If you want to give up your life, kol hakavod, you're going to get the infinite award. If you don't give up your life, you are not in violation of any halacha. You've done the correct thing. This, what we just said, on the side, that's the bottom here, we're going to do tomorrow, is in disagreement with the Rambam. The Rambam is very famous for this. The Rambam holds there is absolutely no difference between private and public. The same way you're obligated to give up your life in public, you're obligated, according to halacha, to give up your life in private. There is no difference between private and public.
Are we talking about the three cardinal sins?
What?
Cardinal sins?
No, so the three cardinal, not necessarily. Over here, let's put that aside for now. The three cardinal sins could be even in private, yes. It seems like the dealing over here are called the misane, like other halachas. The three cardinal sins, you don't have a choice. I think even in private, you don't have a choice. That's part of the discussion of the sins. But let's leave the three cardinal. Let's learn about shmad. Shmad means I want you to do something, to do something that will show that you're conceding. You're giving in, you're giving up your religion. The Sefer Hasidim is saying here in a massive chiddush. There's a difference between public and private. Private, you're not obligated. That comes to a shock to many of us because the Sefer Hasidim is usually the hardliner, right? Sefer Hasidim usually, more often than not, says extreme chumras that we're very not comfortable with. And we, I think most of us, are more familiar with the Rambam's halacha that you are obligated to give up your life, even in private. Kiddush Hashem means even b'chadrei chadarim, when no one is watching, it's just you and Hashem. The same rules apply, there's no such thing. The publicity is not a factor in Kiddush Hashem. That's what the Rambam, he squashes, he dispels this notion that Kiddush Hashem is the glorious martyrdom of dying in public. The glorious death. No. The Rambam says the same glory is being all alone in private in the basement where no one is watching and withholding yourself from doing an Avera like being broadcast live in the whole world to see what's going on. It's all the same. The Sefer Hasidim is saying it's not the same. And there's room for leniency when it comes to a private matter. And he brings a riot from the story over here where this person says to him, basically what appears is he said to him, eat the meat. And he says to him, I'm not eating the meat, you can kill me. So the guy says to him, basically is, this is not, you're not making a Kiddush Hashem. You know, I'm not going to eat you, I'm going to kill you. You know why? Because I'm going to kill you even if you don't eat the meat. We're here in private. No one's watching. It's just me and you. I'm going to kill you no matter what. Whether you eat the meat, whether you don't eat the meat. No one's going to let it be known to the world that you died because you didn't want to eat the meat. So you might as well eat the meat because maybe I won't kill you. You have a chance. You have a chance. Because guess what? Even if you choose to eat the meat, I also might kill you. So what kind of Kiddush Hashem are you making? If we're in public, in front of the entire world, we'll put you on trial, we'll impeach you, and have the Senate make a fool out of themselves by kangaroo courts, right? And have this whole Purim spiel go on. Then, you know, you got to play by the rules. If at the end of the day, the Senate decides not guilty, so the president is not guilty. If the president is guilty, okay? But if he's not guilty, he's not guilty. Because the whole world is watching. You can't go that far, now, at least yet, right? But if we're in private, no one's watching. It's just me and you. I'm telling you, eat the meat. Kill me. Guess what? I'll kill you even if you do eat the meat, I'll kill you. So, because there's no accountability when you're all alone in private. So what kind of Kiddush Hashem? He gave him Musar. And the Yerushalmi seems to indicate the Goy was right. The Goy was right. I'll kill you anyway. So you might as well eat the meat, because anyway it's not going to be a Kiddush Hashem. No one's watching but me and you.
On the other hand, if you're going to die anyway, why take another Avera?
Why? It's not an Avera. I'm being forced to do it. It's not an Avera. I'm being forced to do it. So then the Sefer Hasidim concludes, listen, you're right. The Goy is right. There's no Kiddush Hashem. So you might as well eat the meat, because maybe he'll let you live. But if he does give up his life, he does get Olam Haba for that. He does get Olam Haba. On the side here, and we're going to try maybe to tomorrow, he says, you know something? What the Sefer Hasidim says is Shaloi Kehalacha. Is Shaloi Kehalacha, we pass like the Rambam. And the Rambam says, even if the guy will kill you if you do eat the meat, doesn't matter. Don't eat the meat. Because the Kiddush Hashem is defined afilu b'chadrei chadorim, even behind closed doors. You saw the Sefer came before the Rambam, you should know. He lived before the Rambam. He was older than the Rambam, before the Rambam. What? I think it's before the Rambam. The Sefer is before the Rambam. So you see over here already, you know, Machlek is going all the way back. Okay, we'll stop over here, take a short break.
It's about Shem Tov, that's in Messiah.
Yeah.
he's following